Adventures in Research. We do take a lot of things for granted. Water, air, earth, sun, ice. Well now, ice. Perhaps you never heard of the man who invented ice. This is Paul Shannon bringing you another transcribed story of science produced as a public service in cooperation with the Westinghouse Research Laboratories. And today telling you the story of the Ice King, as he liked to be called. And he also liked to think he invented ice. This notion seemed absurd to the New Englanders at the dawn of the 19th century. Invent ice? With lakes, rivers, and streams frozen over? When part of any winter's work was sawing out blocks of the solid stuff.
Come on, Tom! Let's keep moving! Gosh, it's cold!
Ain't that enough? How much of the consigned stuff does Martha need, anyhow?
Oh, just enough to store in the cellar. Now, one more block ought to do it. Heave to!
While such scenes were common in the northernmost states, a young chap named Frederick Tudor of Boston found the winter months more pleasant on a ship headed for the West Indies.
Ah, there, Tudor. Another fine day for sailing. Ocean smooth as glass, eh?
Indeed. Oh, it's like a different world. When I think of the poor souls up in Boston and New England, fetch more wood, Frederick. Get out the snow shovel, Frederick. Heat the bricks for the bed, Frederick. Oh, this is the life. Warm sun, no winter clothes.
For a young chap, you've done quite well for yourself, Tudor. Don't mind my asking, but just what do you do the rest of the year?
Oh, work in a Boston shipping firm. Started when I was 13. Oh, been there for 8 years. 8 years of cold winters and ice and snow.
Well, see, you've left that far behind. Wait till you see the West Indies. The captain says we'll be putting into port this afternoon about sundown.
Good.
Care to debark and see the place, Tudor?
Fine.
Sure is warm, isn't it? I've been doing little else but mop my brow. I don't mind it being warm, but a man can get baked in this climate, too, you know.
Yes, but I love it. Oh, how about joining me in some ginger tea? That should cool you off.
Cool you off? Man, you're mad. It's warm.
Well, it doesn't have to be. Up home in the summers, we chipped some ice from the ice cellar and...
Ice? We left that back there, boy. Ice. These people never saw ice, never heard of it, and wouldn't believe it if you showed it to them.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot. Imagine living all your life and not knowing what ice is.
Yeah. I think I'll go below deck. That sun will have me baked to a crisp.
Next time I come back, I'll have to bring my own ice with me.
Back in his native Boston, young Tudor approached his father with a peculiar request.
Dad, you know that pond you own up in Saugus?
Uh-huh. What about it?
Well, I wondered if I might be able to use it.
Use it? Well, it's pretty well fished out. Just a few miles out of Boston. Yeah, and the city is growing, so...
Well, I don't want it for fishing. I want the ice.
Yeah, in a few years... You want the what?
The ice. When it freezes over this winter.
Why, I don't see why not. Welcome to it, son. You're going to build another ice cellar? Go right ahead, lad. Take all of it you want.
Thank you, Dad.
Frederick, you're welcome to it, of course. Take all the ice on the pond. But what do you intend to do with it? Not that it's any of my business, of course, but then...
Well, thanks again, Dad.
Frederick, as I say, it's not of my affair. The ice is there for the taking. What you want with it is your own concern.
Well, of course.
I mean... Well, hang it, son. What are you going to do with a whole pond full of ice? That is... Well, now, mind you, I know you have a good reason for it, I'm sure, but then...
Well, I do, Dad. I'm going to take the ice down to the West Indies.
I see. Well, I knew you'd have a sound, sensible, sane... You what?
Yes, Frederick Tudor was going to bring ice to the equator. With hardly enough cash to pay for cutting the ice... He managed to charter a ship, and in the winter of 1805, sent two helpers down to the port of Saint-Pierre in Martinique to prepare for the arrival. In March of 1806, Frederick Tudor arrived in Martinique on a ship whose hold was filled with 130 tons of ice packed in hay.
Excuse me, you speak English?
Oui, I speak English, little.
Have you seen a couple of Americans, a Mr. Armitage, a Mr. Westland?
Je ne sais pas.
Oh, a tall man, short man, my friends, supposed to meet me here. Meet me here. Ice. They talk of ice. In boat. Boat. Ice.
No.
Let me put it this way. American money?
American money. We. They be at Tivoli Garden. Yes. They spend, laugh, drink. We. They gone.
Tivoli Gardens?
We. Tivoli Garden. Over there. See? It say Tivoli.
Thanks.
Merci, monsieur. Merci. Merci, monsieur.
Are you the proprietor?
Ah, oui, monsieur. Giovanni Tivoli. At your service, monsieur.
I'm looking for some countrymen of mine from the States. I understand they were here.
Ah, I look for them, too. They leave Giovanni. They say, we see you, Giovanni. Goodbye, Giovanni.
Well,
pay you later, Giovanni. For 2 weeks, Giovanni, wait. I cannot afford to lose such money. Are you friend? You pay their bill, huh?
I'm afraid not. They left me holding the bag, too.
What bag?
I have a cargo aboard my ship in the harbor, and they were supposed to...
You bring in cargo from the States,
yes,
monsieur?
And something has to be done quickly. With this sun beating down, in no time it'll all...
Oh, of course. Sun no good for food, monsieur. Sun spoil it soon.
Not spoil it, melt it.
Such funny words you use in States, monsieur. We say food spoil. You say food melt?
Melt. But it isn't food, it's ice. And it's very...
I am sure. Nice. Very nice.
Not nice. Ice. I-C-E. Ice.
Oh, to be sure, monsieur. Oui, ice. I-C-E. Ice, n'est-ce pas?
Yes, ice.
Ice. Oui. What is ice?
Well, it's the, well, when it freezes, you... Well, water becomes...
Ah, water. You like less of water, monsieur. Of course. Hey, there you are, monsieur. Water. Complimente Tivoli Gardens.
Very nice establishment you have here.
Like in the States, no, monsieur? Just like in the States?
Well, sort of. Of course... In the States, we have ice.
Tivoli Gardens, as good as States, monsieur. Nothing you have there that Giovanni does not have here.
Well, you lack just one thing.
Eh?
If you had that, then indeed your Tivoli Gardens would be as great as any American restaurant.
What do we not have? Giovanni has everything. Look, coffee, tea, a home-baked cake,
mm-hmm,
monsieur.
But where is your ice?
Ice?
Ice.
In States, monsieur. Every place has this ice.
Wouldn't dream of opening without it. Unheard of.
Tivoli Gardens, as good as any place. I, too, can have ice. You say you have a shipload of this ice in harbor, monsieur?
Oh, I do, but, I've already promised it to...
Promise? Bah! I buy this ice. I pay double. You sell to me, eh?
Well, you're a hard businessman, Giovanni. All right, I'll sell you the ice.
Good, monsieur. One question, monsieur. Now I have the ice. What do I do with it?
Why, you can make ice cream with it.
Oh, ice cream? Oui, of course, ice cream. What is this ice cream?
You never heard of ice cream?
Never, monsieur.
Well, you will, Giovanni, and all Martinique will.
Eh?
You have some milk,
oui.
Sugar,
oui.
Flavorings?
Oui.
Here, take my coat.
Monsieur.
I'll start in making some ice cream right now, and by tomorrow, Tivoli Gardens will be the talk of Martinique.
On the first night, Tivoli Gardens sold more than $300 worth of ice cream, and the customers crowded the place. The local newspaper hailed the event.
This remarkable epoch in the history of luxury and enterprise began March 6, 1806, when ice creams were eaten for the first time in the settlement of the country lying just 14 degrees north of the equator.
And though the bringing of ice to Martinique might be hailed as a social success, financially, Tudor lost almost $3,500 due to the melting of the ice. But he tried it again, this time in 1815 in Havana, where startled natives saw the construction of a strange building.
Mamma mia, he say it is an ice house.
An ice house it was, with double partitions and dead space between the walls and heavy plank flooring. In the floor, gutters were embedded like eaves spouts, which caught the melted ice and conveyed it to a barrel outside. At the barrel, Frederick Tudor stood with a watch in his hand.
Hours up. Runoff amounts to 56 pounds. Now that's too much. We'll need more hay to cover the ice. Better. 33 pounds in an hour. But not good enough. We'll bank earth around the building and try that. 18 pounds. We can't do much better than that.
But Tudor was still not completely satisfied. His shipments increased, his fleet enlarged. But what could he do to preserve the ice? Hay was not enough. He tried tan bark, chaff, wheat, pulverized cork, even coal dust, until he hit upon another item of New England waste, pine sawdust. With the help of that and new special tools, augers, tongs, picaroons, his ice exports jumped from 4,000 tons a year to 65,000 tons. He sent apples to the tropics, brought tropical fruits to the States, and was soon recognized as the ice king of the world. 4 years before his death in 1864, he had the satisfaction of seeing his ships carrying ice to 53 ports all over the world. And the last glimpse we have of the ice king is at 80, as he stands at a frosted window in the cold he so despised, watching the weather and remarking,
"The frost covers the window. The wheels creak. The boys run. Winter rules. And $50,000 worth of ice floats for me on fresh pond. Ice to cool the palates of the world that I might be warm."
The world has come far since the days of Frederick Tudor and his shiploads of ice. And in no respect has it progressed further than in the science of refrigeration. Today, modern electric refrigeration and ice-making methods have long since made Tudor's enterprise out of date. But his discovery of better insulation to protect his ice helped push forward the day when the ice itself would be unnecessary. An unusual result, indeed, to Frederick Tudor's equally strange adventure in research. And that's today's Adventures in Research, produced in cooperation with the Westinghouse Research Laboratories. These programs are broadcast to armed forces personnel overseas through the facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. Join us again next week for another transcribed story of science on Adventures in Research.